Hello, and welcome to this episode of Today I Learned About Data, where TechTarget editors give you a behind-the-scenes look at some of the work they've been doing on all things data-related. I'm Ed Burns, executive editor of Search CIO and Search Enterprise AI, and today I'm talking with Gabriella Frick, site editor of Search CIO. Hi, Gabriella, and what did you learn about today?
Hi, Ed. Today, I learned about quantum computing and how close businesses might be to being able to get their hands on it.
Great. So this is a great topic. Quantum computing is very exciting, and we've been seeing a lot more reporting on it lately. One thing about it is it seems like every time we hear about it, it's always people saying it's going to be, just over the horizon. You know, maybe next year, maybe 5 years from now, we'll start getting quantum computers that businesses can actually use. But we still seem to be a little bit a little ways off from that. At the same time, we're seeing some huge investments from some major companies like IBM and Google, and there's a lot of other startups who are working specifically on the problem of quantum computing. So it definitely seems like there is some real traction there. So Gabriella, what are you hearing?
It's true. This is a really active area right now. And I know our listeners have probably heard that before over the years, but we're seeing a lot of companies developing hardware, doing research, and conducting demonstration projects. And some have even made announcements suggesting that they're close to having some kind of broadly usable quantum computers, which I think is some pretty big news. But I spoke with Brian Hopkins, an analyst at Forrester, and he said we'll likely have a lot further to go before businesses start using quantum computers as part of their regular operations.
We're trying to seek this thing called quantum advantage, and what quantum advantage is a very pragmatic thing. Quantum advantage means that there's a business case, a return on investment, for solving particular kinds of supercomputing-like scientific modeling and simulation problems on a quantum computer cheaper than on a supercomputer, right? And we haven't reached that.
So I've been hearing the news about advances in quantum computing, and it's a hot topic right now, but it's a little hard to follow. There's always this back and forth going on, it seems like, right now. I'm thinking specifically of this past year. Google said that they actually achieved quantum supremacy, which Hopkins was talking about in that quote. But then IBM came back and said, no, actually they didn't really. So I'm confused. Where are we?
So this is the problem, and the fact that this is actually more theoretical at this point. So Hopkins said that what Google accomplished was more theoretical. And it sounds like they may have rigged the game a bit. But either way, what they did is so detached from any kind of real-world problem that there isn't really a reason to get excited yet. And it probably gives you a good idea of where quantum computers are today, when one of the biggest advancements is something purely theoretical. But anyway, Hopkins said part of the reason why quantum computers seem so distant still, despite all of these investments and all the progress we're seeing, is the scale of the engineering challenges. So basically, quantum computers operate completely different than classical computers, and a lot of the challenges lie in the realm of physics more so than computation.
The way that we measure the power of a digital computer today is with the number of bits, right? So it's just how many bits? It's 32 bits, it's 64 bits. You know, how much information can it process in one clock cycle? Right? And then how fast is the clock cycle? So it's 3 gigahertz, 3.2 gigahertz. Right, so that's what you're always seeing. It's a 64-bit, 3.2 gigahertz, 4 CPU chip. Right, so the number of processors, speed of the clock cycle, and how big a data set it can process. Right, those are the standard measurements. Right, none of that stuff applies to quantum computing. Right, so one of the engineering problems to solve is how do I make qubits that actually stay useful longer? So it's not only the number of qubits that I have, but the quality of those qubits that creates the number of circuits that you can run, which is then the complexity of the algorithms and the data sets you can solve for.
Still, Hopkins said he does think it's worth keeping an eye on quantum computing. He said it's going to be one of the most revolutionary technologies the world has seen, and that once it becomes fully realized, it will change the world. The only question is, when will we get to that point? Will it be 5, 10, 15 years? We really don't know that yet.
Right. And so, yeah, that's always the question when we're talking about these emerging technologies, is when will it actually make an impact? And certainly it sounds like quantum computing does have the potential to be hugely impactful and eventually be one of the most exciting technologies that we've seen, like Hopkins was saying. But yeah, it's a little frustrating not knowing when we'll actually see that. But so anyway, thank you, Gabriella, for taking us through some of your reporting on this topic. It was really interesting. And to our listeners, we have a lot more coverage about quantum computing and its potential applications for businesses on our site, searchcio.com. So head over there to learn more. And thank you for joining us on this episode of Today I Learned About Data.